This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
I'd like us to read a story in Jeremiah chapter 35. The old chapter. Who reads melodiously? Jeremiah chapter 35. Jacqueline, sit in front. Everybody keeps going behind. Yeah.
Jeremiah chapter 35.
Please open Jeremiah chapter 35 and let's follow the story.
Has everyone found it?
Sure.
This is the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah from the Lord during the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Go to the Rechabite family and invite them to come to one of the side rooms of the house of the Lord and give them wine to drink. So I went to get Jaasaniah, son of Jeremiah, the son of Habaziniah, and his brother, and all his sons, the whole family of the Rechabite. I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the room of the sons of Hanan, son of Igdaliah, the man of God. It was next to the room of the official, which was over that of Maaseiah, son of Shallum, the doorkeeper. Then I said, bowls full of wine and some cup before the man of the Rechabite family and said to them, drink some wine. But they replied, we do not drink wine because our forefather Jonadab son of Rechab gave us this command, neither you nor your descendant must ever drink wine. Also you must never build houses, sow seed or plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things, but must always live in tent. Then you will live long in time. Then you will live a long time in the land where you are nomads. We have obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab son of Rechab commanded us. Neither we, nor our wives, nor our sons, nor our daughters have ever drunk wine or built houses to live in or had any vineyards filled of crops. We have lived in tents and have fully obeyed everything our forefather Jonadab commanded us. But when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, invaded this land, we said, come, we must go to Jerusalem to escape the Babylonian and Aramean armies. So we have remained in Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, go tell the men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, will you not learn a lesson and obey my words, declares the Lord. Jonadab, son of Rechab, ordered his son not to drink wine, and this command has been kept. To this day they do not drink wine, because they obey their forefather's command. But I have spoken to you again and again, yet you have not obeyed me. Again and again I sent all my servants the prophet to you. They said, each one of you must turn from your wicked ways and reform your actions. Do not follow other gods or serve them. Then you will live in the land and have given you to you and your fathers. But you have not paid attention or listened to me. The descendants of Jonadab, son of Rechab, have carried out the command their forefathers gave them, but these people have not obeyed me. Therefore, this is what the Lord God Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen, I'm going to bring on Judah and on everyone living in Jerusalem every disaster I pronounce against them. I spoke to them, but they did not listen. I called to them, but they did not answer. Then Jeremiah said to the family of the Rechabite, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. You have obeyed the command of your forefather, Jonadab, and have followed all his instructions, and have done everything he ordered. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Jonadab, son of Rechab, will never fail to have a man to serve me. Amen.
Amen. All right, what do you learn? Let's have an interactive session. We've read a story. What did you get for yourself? What did you learn? Yeah?
I would say that...
Take the mic so that everybody can hear you.
I would say that verse 13 really hit me. This is what it says. Time after time, I send you prophets who told you, turn from your wicked ways and start doing things right. Stop worshipping other gods so that you might live in peace here in the land I have given you and your ancestors. Really hit me hard.
Yeah. Are you down yet? Praise the Lord. Yeah, I want... what came through to you in that story? Yeah.
It is... One thing is clear here is that it is important to obey the instructions of our forefathers. It is important and necessary to remember and obey the instruction of our forefather in order for us to secure our inheritance.
Yeah. Now, that means you go back to your pagan ancestors. And...
No, our spiritual forefathers, I mean.
Because just go two or three generations back for most of us of African origin here, and we'll have to be keeping the commands of our...
I meant the spiritual forefathers, not the physical one.
All right. Next person. What got across to you?
One thing that gets across to me is that as we walk with the Lord and we have children, we have to seek God for their future and give them clear directions as to how they walk after us when we left. And it really struck me how these children say that their father gave them these clear instructions that they should follow, that they should walk according to, and they would not depart from it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, Brother Calvin.
The thing that touched my heart in the passage is verse 7. It says that also you must never build houses, sow seed, or plant vineyards. You must never have any of these things, but you must always live in tents. Then you will live a long time in the land where you are nomads. You look at the things that are happening now, and I mean, you tell somebody not to build a house. You know, it's because you're doing it.
Therefore,
I mean, it's supposed to live in tents. So I'm like,
you want to live in a tent?
But the truth of my life is, I like a simple life. In America, with the structure that we have, you know, we're forced to leave as soon as started because we are in America. But living in Tennessee, because it says that if you live, you live a longer life if you live in Tennessee. I think it's better. but the other thing is that you know the entanglements with these things of this life. The entanglements with the things of this life is a distraction. If we can be that simple, just live and find me eating. For us in America, there's so much chicken, you know what it is, and all those things that we have. If we're just to live on our vegetable that our parents, like we did in Africa, we'll certainly live there. And live longer.
Okay.
For real, I mean, I'm just sharing my heart.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I barely had a minute to catch my breath, but what I managed to get is the end of the story from verse 18 to 19, which says, "And Jeremiah said to the house of the Rechabites, thus said the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab, your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according to all that he commanded you, therefore, thus the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not lack a man to stand before me forever." And I believe that with God, everything is about obedience here. God doesn't ask so much from us, but to just be obedience. And when you are obedient, he's there in his word, he's our shepherd who shall not lack. So if we are obedient to God, he would provide us with what we need. Amen?
Amen. Yes, who else? Samuel.
Jonadab, or the sons of Jonadab, more or less had a commission or an order from their forefather. There was some temptation to abandon that. They did not yield to the temptation. So it's not like everything went well for them. They were tempted, and they are like, no, our forefather commanded us, and we've never gone contrary to his commandments. We're not going to do that now. And not only did they obey what their forefather had commanded them, but they got their wives and children to do likewise. So it's like they handed down, they passed down their commission onto their wives and onto their children, thereby ensuring continuity of obedience and of faithfulness to the Lord as a tribe, which of course established them as servants or servants of the Lord in a faithful, in a continual manner.
Okay. Anyone else has some personal revelation?
No, praise the Lord.
Amen.
No, I wouldn't say that it's a personal revelation. Actually, what struck me is that God is the one who sent Jeremiah to tempt the Rechabites. Knowing very well that the Rechabites had made vows with temporal issues, it struck me that God himself has sent his prophet to tempt people who had made a vow with regards to temporal issues. And when these people passed the test with regards to a vow with temporal issues, in a generation where Israel had been going astray with regards to divine issues, God promoted the Rechabites by giving them a blessing with regards to always having somebody to stand with before him when these things had to do with temporal issues and not even with divine issues. That's what struck me. That God would promote the Rechabites with regards to temporal issues amidst a generation where Israel has gone away with regards to divine instructions.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The revelations are beginning to come out and pop out. Next person. I wanted to draw attention to this passage over very simple things. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, had crystallized principles that worked for him. A way of living, a lifestyle of living that ensured benefit for him. And what was good for him? He decreed as good for all his generations. In simple language, he had come to the conclusion that a simple lifestyle, a lifestyle without the accumulation of property, and a lifestyle without the trappings of comfort, will give you a longer lifespan. That was a personal discovery. What had become a personal discovery for him, he changed into a command for all who were his. And he bound them to keep it. And they obeyed. They obeyed. And because they obeyed, there is a, what you may call a priesthood of the Rechabites. There is a Rechabite kind of serving God. That is how God picks those who are serving. God said, because of that obedience to an ancestor's instructions, the Rechabites will always have somebody to serve God. So at least in that story, we know that God happens to like those who keep the life principles that they have learned from their parents. The Rechabites were faithful to their father. And faithfulness means you obey what your father has found to be good. You obey. And they were obeying when there was an apparent situation of contradiction. The Babylonian invasion was around. And the principles that their father had given them about not building houses was collapsing because of the immediate circumstances. They were told never to build houses, and the Babylonians have come, and they have no houses, and they are vulnerable out there in the field. And they do not turn their hearts against the instructions of their father for being insufficient in the management of circumstances that have developed. They kept a loyal heart in spite of the apparent contradiction of their immediate circumstances in the light of what they had inherited as a lifestyle. And God said, this is a family that will always furnish a servant for God. There are very few passages that tell us what God likes. This is one of them. God likes faithful children. And it is not isolated. In the scripture, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. That means parental obedience to parental instructions carries with it a future. A future. In the context of Christian Missionary Fellowship, if Razak in his walk with God has found out for himself what was useful in building his relationship with God, and taught it to those that God has given to him as his spiritual children. If you want God to adopt you, keep what you were taught. Amen. God doesn't happen to enjoy sons that wake up to create innovations that contradict inherited and distilled principles of life. Remember the Rechabites. Remember the Rechabites. Brother Calvin, the issue is not about not building a house. You will build a house. You better get a house so that if the Antichrist comes, we'll have somewhere to hide. The issue is not about going back. There is an American philosopher, Moreau. What's the other, the first name? Jacques? Henry. Yes, Moreau. He is the philosopher that crystallized the principles of nonviolence, which Gandhi applied in his political... he crystallized the theories. In order to think well, he withdrew from civilization to the forest of... Was it the Wildens? Yes, some Wilden Park. No electricity, nothing of civilization. He fished for his food, carried water from the springs, and lived a simplified life. And the explanation was, no man can have intellectual integrity whose head is crammed by the trappings of civilization. That was in America. And Gandhi was his disciple. So he is the philosopher that has been the apostle of nonviolence as a tool. But he paid a great price for it in a deliberately chosen lifestyle of simplicity. But we are not going to send you to the Wilden Park to go and live there in order to crystallize for us philosophies that have already been crystallized. But this man, Jonadab, he had come to the realization that a nomadic life, stripped of the sedentary things, will give a longer life. That simplicity is good for the human personality. It isn't so much the not building of the house. It is the fact that he had crystallized principles of life which were good for him and which he handed down to his children. And the great blessing is not that he was the first to do so, but that he had a generation of children who had obeyed. Amen. And who, in spite of all the contradictions, in spite of the invading Babylonians, now the Babylonians are invading. The children didn't rise up in revolt and said, we can't all just be traditionalists, keeping to the old ideas of a man who is an anachronism, and the realities on ground require that we should innovate and get, we should be real and realistic. Here we are now refugees in the city of Jerusalem, all because we have been keeping to the ideas of an old dotard and dastard. They didn't revolt. They kept his word. And glory be to God. Aaron was chosen. This is one of the appointments of the Bible. The sons of Rechab will always serve the Lord. The sons of Rechab. There is an order of divine God's servants that follow the principles of Rechab. It is simply that where there is the where we have internalized the principles of the making of disciples in the transference of a lifestyle that pleases God, God will always have a servant. God will always have those he can trust. The issue is, with all that Brazak taught us, with all that he crystallized from his own walk with God, will he find some Rechabites that will walk that way so that God will always have a person to serve him? The choice is ours, and it's an issue of faithfulness. It's a simple issue of faithfulness. Let's read Genesis chapter 17, verse 17 and 18. Sorry, chapter 18, verse 17 and 18. 17 to 19, sorry. Genesis 18, verse... Start from verse 16 so that it makes sense. Sorry, get a microphone so that we can all hear you.
Genesis 18, 16 to 19.
Yeah.
Then the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am going to do? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him."
Amen.
Amen.
That sounds like a strange methodology for God. God decides that Abraham must be given some revelations. It's like God is deliberating with himself. Should I show Abraham what is going to happen? Should I show Abraham what is going to happen? God decided that Abraham was going to have some spiritual experiences, not for the benefit of Abraham, but because of the purposes that he had entrusted to the hands of Abraham. So God chose to tell him the destiny of surrounding nations. God decided to show him what will happen to Sodom. God decided to show him what will happen to Gomorrah. It wasn't because Abraham was so special. It was because of what was tied to Abraham. And God reasoned with himself. Now, Abraham is going to be a great nation, because I've already chosen him. And I've chosen him so that he will command all his children and everyone in his household after him to keep the way of the Lord, so that what I have promised Abraham, I may bring it to pass. The fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham depended upon the following of his children and household, not on Abraham. The fulfillment of the promises that God gives to a man are not rooted just in that man's walk with God, but that those that he gives to him align to walk in this, in the pathway that God has commanded and called that man to walk in. There is a spiritual uniform, a uniform we wear to belong to the same ministry, and that uniform is a common walk with God. A common walk with God. God can't make Abraham go this way, and then his children have the liberty to go another way. And according to God, if they do that, all that God promised to Abraham comes to naught. In the context of CMFI, if God is going to carry out that which he has promised to us through Brazak, what he has entrusted to us through Brazak, God gave Brazak a lot of spiritual experiences. all these revelations about the overthrow of principalities and powers and all those massive spiritual experiences. It wasn't to make Brother Zach special. It was tied to his purposes. So that buildup of authority may produce a spiritual father entrusted with a purpose of God, so that he may command his children and his household and everyone who is part of his ministry to walk in a certain way. And it is conditioned upon that walking in a certain way that God will accomplish what he has promised us with regards to world conquest. Is it clear? Will you be one of them? And it's a choice. You can choose not to be one of them. Abraham had many children. Ishmael wasn't one of them. It's not all your blood children that are your covenant children. It's not all who are in your ministry that are part of God's purposes for your life. It's not all. God keeps doing filtrations. He called Abraham, and Ishmael was not included in the eternal purposes of God through Abraham, in spite of being blood child of Abraham. And the sons of Keturah are not included in the covenant promises of Abraham. He chose Isaac. Of course, Isaac was the covenant child. But even with Isaac, Esau have I hated, and Jacob have I loved. Even at that level, a new filtration, an exclusion of some who are children and who are not part of the eternal purposes of God. Why? God has a way of doing things. God has a way of doing things. In the New Testament, Jesus makes it very simple. Many are called, few are chosen. And God won't change, and none of us is going to edit him in the 21st century. God is very primitive, and God is very modern. He's not going to change overnight. And the big burden on my heart is, will Brother Zach have a few covenant children? Will he have those who will walk in the pathway that God has chosen for him? The conflicts in our ministry is not about issues of institutions. The conflicts in our ministry is about finding those who will walk in the pathway that God has taught Brother Zach. That's the challenge. And all will not do so. All will not do so. Not all who are of Israel. Not all who are descendants of Abraham are of Israel. That's Romans, the commentary on Romans, about those that God uses. And even among the sons of Jacob, even after that filtration and the elimination of Esau, if I had time, I would have studied it with you. It has intrigued me for the better part of 20 years. Because the rejected Esau became a mighty nation, and on the principles of compromise, they mixed up with the descendants of Edom and Mount Seir. And they became a great nation and had a dynasty of kings, while Israel, with the promises of God, were still struggling in the captivity of Egypt. There are many wonderful world ministries that are the Edomite ministries. Edomite. Rooted on the principles of compromise and not upon the principles of a walk with God. And God builds his purposes on the principles of a walk with God. And he is not going to compromise. If we don't give him that walk, he will find those that will give it to him. None of us is indispensable. We can, God willing, apply to serve him. Don't sleep, Brother Calvin. So I'm trying to point out, in the case of Abraham, that what the Rechabites were doing, that God has not changed. You see, it's the same heart that God has. If you find an ancestor who can get his children to do what you have taught them, God will find someone who can serve him. That was a principle that he taught Abraham. That is a principle that the Rechabites obeyed. God remains the same. God remains the same. So there was Esau. Now, if you go and read Genesis, you'll find that Esau became a big nation in a very short time without trouble. Ministries that have no necessity to be rooted upon a walk with God. They have glorious successes because they are rooted on principles of compromise and expediency. They just mixed up with the inhabitants of the land and they became a kingdom. They were kings in Edom long before there was any king in Israel. So those who choose to go God's way, by contemporary comparison, they don't seem to have made it. There was nothing for Esau to be jealous of. He was a great nation while Israel was still in slavery. But God's purposes outlast time for those who will not compromise God's standards. The choice is ours. I've made my mind up. And I know that there are many others. Many, many others. Their following of Brazak will not be mouthing sentiments and sentimental attachments to a man of God who has gone. Because every dead man is always a saint, except in CMFI. But, in any case, that's the way God does it. What I wanted you to get through is that God selects the faithful to serve him. God selects the faithful to serve him. It's not just all about getting things work. It is about being faithful. You can achieve results at the expense of faithfulness. The devil offered to Jesus many alternatives to ministry. The Lord had come. He wanted to conquer the world. And the devil came to him and said, let's be parties. Let's have a dialogue. I've been in the business of tempting man for 4,000 years before you came. I've learned a few secrets. You catch them by their appetite. So, change the bread, this stone, into bread. Just be relevant. You know, Jesus, you need to be relevant. What is the use of a gospel that is not relevant? Get relevant. Get them bread. It has biblical precedence. And Moses gave them bread from heaven. Give them bread. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And then the devil said, that's your choice. But anyway, there's a second secret I want to tell you. Dazzle them. Come on, guy. Dazzle them. Be a superman. Jump from, demonstrate something that shows that you are not ordinary. How else will you show the intrinsic essence of your nature as the son of God? You can't just walk around packaged in ordinary humanity. Why should they believe you? Show them. After all, the scriptures say, I shall give my angels charge of you. Quoted the Bible to Jesus in order to produce a ministry of self-fulfillment. And Jesus said, it is also written, you shall not put the Lord thy God to the test. Finally, he told Jesus, okay, now I understand. Now let's really negotiate. You want to gain the whole world. It is mine. There are many principles of
acquiring results. Why do you want to do it the hard way? Make some few concessions, and you have a big ministry, a world ministry. I give you the whole world. Just some secret concessions. Acknowledge at least that the world which you want has been entrusted to me by a man. Just bow the knee. Who will see you? Just between two of us here. And you have the whole world. You have global success. You achieve your end. You accomplish your goal on just a few principles of concession. Jesus rejected the possibility of a success which was not rooted upon a price paid. Jesus refused ministry success which was not rooted on a price paid. And what Jesus rejected, so many preachers have accepted. So many. The Lord mentioned that the Pharisees travel all over the world to make one proselyte. And when they have made him, they change him to become twice more fit for hell than he was before. Global ministries that qualify men for hell. They are global ministries. Proselytes all over the world. Converts that will go to hell. Pharisee ministries. God prizes faithfulness. God judges faithfulness. God weighs men who are faithful. And God chooses sons that are faithful. And on that premise, God accomplishes the purposes that he entrusted to a spiritual father. That's the way God does it. And the man that will edit God is not yet born. Will you be one of the Rechabites? Will you just go back and walk along the old paths that your spiritual father crystallized from his own walk with God, so that God will always have someone that will serve him? It's an issue of faithfulness. There are easier methods of success. There are other alternatives. They are all the relevance methods of success. Get them what they need so that they can hear what you have. The customer, the consumerisms, the economic principles. You create some desire in order to furnish a logic for supply. And we have I tell you, in Nigeria, we are in Jesus Christ Incorporated, Limited. And I think we have exhausted all the spectrum of how to sell Jesus. If you have fears in the night and witches haunt you, come to church, we cast out the devils. And so we create witchcraft ministries. And man, we really do the casting out. And Jesus cast out witchcraft. It's not about Jesus not delivering people from witchcraft. But this whole obsession with finding one's own niche in ministry so that one can develop and package a peculiar product for the consumer market of Christendom. Jesus turned his back to it. For 15 years, I saw mighty ministries in Nigeria swallow what Jesus would have vomited. And then when you choose to go Jesus' way and the results don't seem to come and you are oppressed by the evidence of not succeeding, you will know how to cave in. But don't worry, brethren. There are two ultimate destinies. There is a Christianity built by compromise. By adjusting this and adjusting that, relating to the customer needs, being relevant to human needs, you change the music so that the youth in the church can swallow it and not feel strange and need to go to pubs. Adjust the music for the youth. Adjust the messages to bring comfort. Adjust everything. Do it, you may win, brethren. And the Bible says that that kind of Christianity is very powerful and that it will succeed. The final picture of that Christianity in the book of Revelation is a mammoth organization called Babylon. The woe, the harlot, belonging to Christ, but flirting with the world. And the Bible says, Babylon, the mistress of nations, alluring and beautiful. And she sits upon the nations. It's a beautiful woman, but it's a harlot. It's a harlot. It's a harlot. But there is success God's way. Through the cross, through the blood, through sacrifice, and through the martyrs. And the final picture of that success is also another glittering star from heaven. It's called the New Jerusalem. Both ways. They are the ways of the world. It produces some mega success called Babylon. There is the way of the cross. It will produce its own kind of success. It will be called the New Jerusalem, the city of God, where light dwells and where God will be the comfort and our sunshine forever. There, we hope in that. And because of that, we are not going to bend. We'll follow the way of the cross as Jesus followed the way of the cross. And though Hebrews says that God has put everything in the future under the feet of Jesus, but he adds that statement of reality. Yet, we don't see all things under him, but we see Jesus exalted at the right hand of God the Father. The destiny of Jesus is the affirmation that the pathway of Jesus will win. That it will win. He is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. And though we do not see all the world subject yet to him, we see him exalted. And that destiny, like Andrew Murray puts it, that Christ has been exalted to the right hand of God the Father, gives hope to all the insignificant labors of those who are faithful. There will be victory. There will be the New Jerusalem. We will win. But God wants faithful sons. Faithful sons. You can pick up new methods of work, of developing a distinct ministry. You can, if you are a good chameleon, you can pick up the color of all the society you've survived in. You can pick it up. You can pick up the theatrics, and you can shout like the Soul Brothers. You can pick up all the tricks. And I'm not saying they will not work. They will work. They get you a lot of cash. And you have a ministry that's pressed by the power of money and not by the power of the Holy Ghost. And men will worship you. And men will honor you. And the success that you gain at the price of compromise will deceive multitudes that God approves you. You can have the aura. You can be an antichrist. God still goes for the faithful. God still wants those who are faithful. God wants some Rechabites. Will you be one? Even when you see nothing coming from the pathway that you have followed, the grinding disciplines. In Psalm 73, the psalmist says, in fact, he sits down and really has a... No, let's read this. Somebody read Psalm 73. I think that psalmist is a backsliding member of CMFI.
Yeah, in the NIV, please. You have King James.
Oh.
Somebody with NIV, yeah. Please open it and make sure you read it.
Psalm 73. Are we there?
Sure.
Surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked.
Have you heard?
They have no struggles. Their body are healthy and strong. They are free from the burdens common to man. They are not plagued by human ills. Therefore, pride is their necklace. They clothe themselves with violence. From their callous hearts comes iniquity. The evil conceit of their minds know no limits. They scoff and speak with malice. In their arrogance, they threaten oppression. Their mouths lay claim to heaven, and their tongues take possession of the earth. Therefore, their people turn to them and drink up waters in abundance. They say, how can God know? Does the Most High have knowledge? This is what the wicked are like, always carefree, they increase in wealth. Surely in vain have I kept my heart pure. In vain have I washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued. I have been punished every morning.
Yeah, you see, that punish every morning. When he wakes up for daily dynamic encounters with God, God is always rebuking him. Always rebuking him. Other people are having a great time. And here, the guy does not see where all this walking with God has paid. Every morning, God punishes him. Always repenting of even sins that he doesn't even remember having committed. Go on.
If I had said, I will speak thus, I would have betrayed your children. When I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. Surely you placed them on slippery ground. You cast them down to ruin. How suddenly are they destroyed, completely swept away by terrors, as a dream. When one awakes, so when you arise, O Lord, you will despise them as fantasies. When my heart was grieved and my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant. I was a brute beast before you. Yet I'm always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Those who are far from you will perish. You destroy all who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my refuge. I will tell of all your deeds. Amen.
Amen. Here is this CMF, I remember, wondering whether following God pays. He looks at those who backslide, and the guys are having a field day. They succeed, they prosper, they are healthy. God has not judged anybody. They are arrogant. And then he says, then what has it benefited me? All this laboring to be holy and clean. What has it turned out? What has it paid off in? And he says that while he was thinking like that, God saw him like a wild duck. And when you are envying those who have made it in the rat race, and this is a little snapshot from the photo gallery of God. Do you know what you look like? You look like a dog that is barking. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah. That's how God sees those who envy those who are rich. When your heart is bitter inside you and you are uncomfortable and dissatisfied with your spiritual life, God sees you like a barking dog. And then the guy says, until I went into God's presence, and in the presence of God, I saw things clearly. The veil was torn. You have put all these brethren on a slippery pathway. There is no future. And then he said, but as for me now, I'm always with God. I have made the Lord God my inheritance. My strength and my life may fail. God is the strength of my life. It was a deep spiritual experience. Go God's way. Go God's way. Whether it pays immediate dividends or it doesn't pay immediate dividends, go God's way. Go God's way. God needs it. God won't change it. God won't compromise it. Just go God's way. Rechabites. We need some Rechabites. Those who will follow. And Isaac was that kind of fellow. The wells that Abraham had dug. A well in the Middle East was a great source of refreshment with all the surrounding dryness. And they are spiritual wells. When God raises a spiritual father, in his searching for God, he soon develops means by which people can get spiritual refreshment. Those things are like spiritual worlds. For Brazak, one of it was daily dynamic encounters with God. The whole habit of going to meet God each morning with the word to draw spiritual water and life. And Abraham dug a number of wells. Brazak dug quite a number of wells. And he has taught us consistently some of those words. Bible reading, praying alone, daily dynamic encounters with God, giving to God, retreats for spiritual progress, soul winning, and a number of other words. Sources of spiritual refreshment. But the jealousy of the Philistines wanted to fill up the wells. Who are the Philistines? They are those who are in the church who are not God's people. If the church was Canaan, then there were many people in Canaan that were not God's people. Jebusites, Hittites. And here in the church, I hope there are no, some Jebusites are not hanging around. Some Hittites, some Philistines, they all lived in Canaan. They did not all belong to God. And in the church, there are still many Hittites, many Jebusites, many Canaanites, especially those who love money. The Bible calls them Canaanites. They are in the church. And they don't belong to God. The jealousy of the Philistines filled up the wells. They wanted to destroy that which Abraham had discovered that will bring life. Anyway, Isaac was a faithful son. He came back to his well, dug it up again and removed the rubbish of the Philistines. Gave that same well, the same name that his father gave it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whether you speak against Bible reading, or speak against long nights of prayer, or speak against all this, some Isaacs will still dig those same wells, and they will still call them prayer crusades, and still call them prayer sieges, and they will still call them daily dynamic encounters with God. They will call them the same names.
Yes.
Because they drew from it spiritual refreshment. But it was a fierce battle to keep the wells. And it will always be a fierce battle to keep that which has been discovered as a source of spiritual refreshment. So Isaac was one of those faithful sons. Just dig the same wells that your father has dug. And just call them the same names that your father called them. Amen? And then God has somebody he can use. Somebody he can bless. It was the blessing of God on Isaac that closed and destroyed the enmity of the Philistines. If we follow the Lord, perhaps he will bless us. And perhaps he will reduce the hostilities. But we must dig the wells. Call them by the same names and go that same way. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's how God does it. Old Testament, New Testament. That's how God does it. But I want you to remember what God told Abraham. I have chosen him that he may command his children to walk the way of the Lord and carry out righteousness, so that I may do for Abraham what I have promised him. The things that God revealed for our generation through Brazak, and the things that it is not all God's purposes for our generation is not tied to Brazak. God has other servants. But those things that are tied to Brazak will be conditioned on producing disciples that walk the way he walked with God. Paul told Timothy, "What you have heard from me in the midst of many witnesses, keep." There were many people who heard, but the charge to ensure continuity was given to one. You keep it as a pattern, as a model of sound doctrine. And don't only keep it, look for faithful people to whom you will also hand it. There is a fraternity of the faithful. Later on, Paul says, "Join with us in suffering affliction like a good soldier." That us there is who? There is a fellowship. The English fellowship, not the church fellowship. A fraternity. A caucus of people who have sworn allegiance to walk with God in a certain way and to suffer if need be. And Paul was recruiting Timothy into that us. Join with us. It is a military recruitment. Come along with us and suffer with us. And then Paul later on explains that he has thought through these things and that the pathway he has chosen agrees even with natural principles. It is the hardworking farmer that deserves the first fruits. A soldier who wants to please his commanding officer doesn't entangle himself with civilian affairs. And the athlete that wants to win the prize competes according to the rules. So Paul was telling Timothy, I have thought through this thing. No matter what you hear from others, the pathway that we have chosen to go with Christ, to suffer with the Lord, agrees even with natural principles. The principles of excellence, the principles of fruitfulness, the principles of satisfaction. So come along on that pathway. And Timothy went along. 2 years later, he was dragged through the streets of Ephesus and torn to pieces and sealed his own testimony by his death. Glory be to God.
Amen.
God requires faithful sons so that he may have servants.
That is how God does it. That's how he does it. That's how he accomplishes his purposes. On the principles of faithfulness. And please, brethren, you have a choice. Abraham had all kinds of children. You may be Keturah's child in CMFI. You may be a Keturah CMFI. You may be an Ishmaelite CMFI. You may be a Philistine CMFI. You may be an Isaacan CMFI. Make your choice. Make your choice. The choice was rooted upon the covenant of circumcision. A man, a Jew, took the sign of circumcision. It was a way of telling God, I have accepted the kind of relationship that you, O God, had with our ancestor, Abraham. And I will walk along the pathway of your covenant demands. That was what the sign of the circumcision was. And the prophets of Israel kept bringing Israel back. That circumcision was not just an identity in the flesh, but a commitment to follow God in a certain way. To keep the law of Moses. To walk as God wanted them to walk. In Israel, you took up the sign of circumcision. You were entering into a covenant with God that you will follow God as Abraham followed him. And it was on that premise that you were reckoned as a Jew, through which the purposes of God will flow for the blessings of the nations. And the Bible is clear. If there was a Jewish son who rejected circumcision, though his blood was Hebrew, he would be cut off from his people. God will not reckon him as a Hebrew. So in the ministry, you may be born again in this ministry, but if you will not walk with God in that covenant relationship in which we have been taught to walk with the Lord in the new covenant, to follow the Lord and to love him. There are many stones that are in a river, and the river has never been into the stone. There are many in the ministry, and the ministry has never been in them. You can be one of them. Take your pick. We need faithful men. Paul told Timothy, the continuity of the ministry will depend upon you are finding faithful men to whom you will entrust what you heard from me, not what you hear from God. Look for faithful men to whom you will hand over what you heard from me. Timothy was not told to plug into the new moves of the Holy Spirit and hear new things and have a new beginning. He was simply given the assignment of perpetuating what Paul had taught. And he was to look for, it was to be a selection, an individual selection. On the grounds of proven character. Get faithful men. Hand to them what I gave to you. And charge them to make sure that they pass it on. Those were the provisions that the Apostle Paul made for the continuity of his ministry. It was to individuals. It wasn't to his work. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says very clearly, you know that all in Asia have abandoned me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. Those may have been very distinguished co-workers.
So a man's entire ministry can backslide from him. The provisions for continuity are entrusted to some and to a caucus of the faithful who are raised. In Paul's own lifetime, his own ministry as an apostle had backslidden from him. Twice in 2 Timothy, he mentions that all the churches of Asia had abandoned him. They had forsaken him. Ministries backslide when they abandon the founder and the principles that brought that ministry into existence. They backslide. And if we do, we too will backslide. I pray that the God of mercy will find in this room some faithful men who will embrace what God has given to us through one of his servants, Zach Fomu, and ensure that it continues. If you are one of them, then Razak did not fail. It doesn't matter whether all the churches in CMFI backslide or not. The continuation purposes of God are transmitted through individuals, not through congregations. But we are not going to go around and dismiss congregations. I'm always saying that you can have perfect peace about the future if you happen to want to be one of the faithful. Amen.
Amen.
If you are one of the faithful, you can be at peace. When I was younger and I used to read a lot, I read some Celtic mythologies about the reign of King Arthur. He was in a battle situation with the Saxons and the Picts and the Irish. And the battle with the Pict warlords had gone on for so long. One day, Arthur, Sam, don't sleep, crossed the battle line and walked through the whole turf of the Pict armies and went right into the camp of their general and their warlord king. The action was so bold that nobody raised a spear against him. He walked right up to the other wild-looking king and he told him, "I have a dream of a summer kingdom on the islands of the mighty. A dream that your son and my son can grow up under the shade of their own olive tree and eat their food without the threat of an enemy. I need you that we may build that kingdom, for the land is broad enough for all of us. You give me your hand that we shall stop fighting so that we may create a summer kingdom for the island of the mighty. If you don't, tomorrow, I meet you at war, and you will die." When I read it, it was written by Stephen Lawhead. When I read it, I shook. I said, "What courage! You are in an enemy's camp, and you are telling him that if he doesn't agree to your conditions, you will meet him in battle the next day, and he will be dead." But the other king, and that is the mark of every true leader, he knew how to recognize worth. He stretched his hand to King Arthur and said, "I'll come with you. Let's build your dream of a summer kingdom."
Then his own war general turned and called his king coward. Coward and traitor. So this king told Arthur, get into my tent. I have internal problems to solve. He turned to his war general and told him, I am not king of the Picts by favor or by choice, but by merit. Choose any weapon of your choice and let's decide cowardice. In 5 minutes, his general was dead. Because in those olden days, you were a king by might, not by royal descent or by constitution. You were a king because of what you can do. That was how England was unified. And that's why you have the Saxons and the Angles and the Irish. I've often thought about it. Come with me to a new dream. Why have I thought about it? When an individual has decided that this thing will be done, you have gotten a very terrible asset because he will win. If a few of you will decide that what Brazak gave us from God, that it will work, there's no enemy. There's none. Then it will work. It will work. And when you know that it will work, it will help you to be loving and to be kind. Because nobody will stand on the way. Amen.
Amen.
It will work. It will work. So I'm at peace. I'm at perfect peace. The man who will stop the ministry that God has given to us through Brazak is not yet born. Forty-something years of accumulated and detailed praying cannot be swept aside by the arrogance of a few. It's a joke. There is a living God in heaven.
Yes.
Living God. It's a living God. You have only the choice whether to be one of the Rechabites or to be one of the Ishmaelites. I'd like us to pray that we understand that God works with the faithful. God chooses the faithful. God uses the faithful. God needs the faithful. And God will compromise nothing of the spiritual standards upon which he builds his work. He will not change. He is the Lord God. He is immutable. He will not change. And as you pray, throw off your own wobbly character and your own fickleness so that God can have a son and some sons for the accomplishment of his purposes as he promised them through Brazak. I'd like a few people to pray.